1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in Dallas, where a heat wave is descending this week. It will be even hotter in other parts of the state.
Hotter than it's ever been in Texas.
You could probably cook an egg on the sidewalk.
My advice, stay inside.
National Weather Service meteorologist Marty Roush.
Certainly very dangerous conditions for anyone who's outside for any length of time.
There were several mass shootings overnight, including one near Chicago. Police say 19 people were shot and one killed. WBBM-TV's Azel Rezi reports.
Police were close by monitoring the festivities when the shooting happened. One woman tells us she was scared for her life.
I'm not used to this. I wasn't expecting it, but you just never know.
Right now, we still don't have any information on the age of the victims or any victims' conditions of those who are still in the hospital.
There were also shootings in St. Louis and one in Grant County, Washington. Two people were killed and three others hurt. CBS News correspondent Matt Piper has more.
Police say the shooting happened at the Beyond Wonderland EDM Festival in George, Washington at the Gorge Amphitheater. Around 8:30 last night, someone began shooting into a crowd at the area where people were camped out for the weekend festival.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in China for talks. CBS's Olivia Gazes reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken has wrapped up a first round of high-stakes talks with his counterparts in China. He met in Beijing with Foreign Minister Qin Gang and Senior Official Wang Yi in what marks the highest-level visit there by U.S. officials since the start of the Biden administration. A State Department readout of the talks said they were candid and constructive and that both sides had agreed to continue discussions, possibly later this year, in Washington. Olivia Gazes, CBS News, Washington.
GOP presidential contender Chris Christie is going after former President Donald Trump following his federal indictment.
That conduct is indefensible, in my view. And if it's true, as alleged in the indictment, he is in severe legal trouble.
He spoke on CBS's Face the Nation. Cheers for the Pope in St. Peter's Square. Pope Francis made his regular Sunday address for the first time after he was released from the hospital following hernia surgery. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. Black College President Aisha Francis was honored in Boston.
I'm a native of Nashville, Tennessee, and did not learn about Juneteenth until I was in college from Texans. And so to really live through a period when our nation is embracing Juneteenth, it's a really special.
This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text TAP to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text TAP to 321-321. That's TAP to 321-321.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
This week's flavor forecast is brought to you by Swiftwater Ice Cream, 300 Market Street in Nakusa. This week's flavor of the week is butter pecan. Find Swiftwater Ice Cream on Facebook.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out, you know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand too is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Harold Breyer and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African-American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing. And the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, is, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches. There were boycotts. There were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets, to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee during that period of time.
So, several times.
Dick Gregory.
Several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved in helping to publicize what was going on and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Grappi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Grappi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, and spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council of Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights march.
I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marchers. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Grappi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee, that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So, Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African-Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for him, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, throw rocks at him or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. Though that everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots when they closed the city down, all of a sudden the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know, and like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African-American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know, but it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey Andy.
Would be my observation.
Hey Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred?
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself, because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading, and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council, and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So, as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee. Because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. Black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the viaduct? Who were enforcing their constitutional rights?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion that we'll have after the break.
Okay. All right, hang on. 844-967-2789. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. We'll be right back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You've got advanced prostate cancer, but you're not waiting around. You want straight talk, the facts about Orgovyx.
Orgovyx Relugolix 120 milligram prescription tablets is a treatment for adults with advanced prostate cancer. Fact, Orgovyx is a different kind of androgen deprivation therapy treatment, a pill, not an injection. Orgovyx may cause serious side effects, including a heart condition called QT prolongation. Tell your doctor right away if you feel dizzy, faint, have a racing or pounding heart, or chest pain. Orgovyx can cause harm to an unborn baby or miscarriage. Use birth control during treatment and for 2 weeks after Orgovyx treatment. The most common side effects include hot flushes, increased blood sugar and blood fat levels, muscle and joint pain, decreased blood hemoglobin levels, increased liver enzymes, tiredness, constipation, and diarrhea. Other side effects include weight gain, decreased sex drive, and erectile function problems. Orgovyx may cause infertility. Talk to your doctor if infertility is a concern for you.
Go with Orgovyx. Ask your doctor. For more facts, visit GoWithTheFacts.com.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, Attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with their batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different. But not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of the constitutional rights. You're an attorney, man. The fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor, saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Walpole area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties will be presenting the Alice Report at the McMillan Library All-Purpose Room, June 22nd at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Registration is appreciated. Contact Ben at 715-421-0390 or Ben at uwswac.org. VFW Post 2534 and VVA Chapter 101 will be having their next Brat Fry on Saturday, June 24th at the Quality Foods on West Grand Avenue from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Proceeds benefit veterans throughout central Wisconsin.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 60, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 84, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows level off around 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Mississippi, surrounded by for a world that ain't so pretty.
going strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city. Patience long, but soon it won't have any. To find a job is like a haystack needle, 'cause where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the city.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
Yeah, I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with the direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances. We've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyree Nichols,
right,
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did, it used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. They were... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So, Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
No, you know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that
people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
Oh, no, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
When I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring some...
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, oh, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives, and the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscraper and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, bro.
Hey, look here. Run this car speed for me right quick, okay? Run this car speed for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on. Get in that cell, nigga. God.
Bernard.
His hair is long, his feet are hard and thrifty. He spends his life walking the streets of New York City. He's almost dead from breathing in air pollution. He tried to vote, but to him that's not solution. Living in just enough, just enough.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
The Rafters and the Chinooks meet on this Sunday afternoon matinee from a cloudy evening at Witterfield. And good afternoon, everybody. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Well, the Raptors had an unbelievable night last night, taking down the Lakeshore Chinooks by a score of 7-3. They outhit Lakeshore 8-7, and a guy that was largely responsible for that was Jack Gervich. Five RBIs, three home runs, two home run shots, and he had a solo home run as well. So a guy that had a record night in the record books for the Raptors. So he's looking to continue that in a way that, well, I don't know if he can get three home runs, but who knows? We didn't say that last night, and he surely did. So he's back, and it's an exciting game here. The Raptors will be taking on the Chinooks just about 15 minutes away. And the guy to start off for Wisconsin Rapids, Ryan Kaiser, will be getting the start on the mound, the right-handed pitcher out of the University of San Diego. So he'll be getting his first start. He's had an 0-1 record. He hasn't gotten a start yet. So a product that is looking to get off on the start on the right foot. So Kaiser, the right-handed pitcher, will be on the mound. As for the Raptors in their batting order, Nolan Saylors, the Creighton product, will be slotted in at center field. He'll be leading off. Jack Basir at first base. Brendan Bobo will be back at batting third. And the right fielder, Jack Gervich, the DH, Shane Taylor, batting fifth. He'll be at the second base today. Anthony Gallison back in the lineup at six. He'll be at left field. Jorge Degatti, the Indiana product, at third base. And he'll be batting seventh. Hogan Holigso at catcher. And then James Castagnola back in the lineup once again. The UC Irvine product from San Diego, and he's slotted in at the shortstop. As for the Chinooks, Colin Daly, the right-handed pitcher out of the University of St. Thomas, will be getting the start on the mound. Grant Ross will be leading off, a guy that had an unbelievable day yesterday, had three hits. So Ross will be leading off at shortstop. Drew Townsend at right field. Avery Owusu-Asedu will be back in at center field. He'll be batting third. Joey Spence at catcher. Brady Council had a solo home run to left center field yesterday. He'll be batting fifth. Josh Overbeek at sixth. He'll be slotted in at third base. Will Johannes at first base. Jason Schaaf, the DH, and Gabe Ressler at left field. So the umpires for today, Brandon Ottens at home plate, Brandon Hastings at first, and the crew chief, Gary Glover, at third. So Lakeshore and Wisconsin Rapids just had a game yesterday where it was back and forth for a bit. The Raptors were up 2-0. Lakeshore responded with three unanswered. Then the Raptors had to take matters into their own hands. Five unanswered runs, winning 7-3. They were down in that game 3-2, fought back up 4-3, and then they went 5-3, and then Jack Gervich 7-3. He was a guy that had three hits, five RBIs, three home runs on four at-bats. He hit one to left field, right field, and center field, so found all the way outside of the edges of the park, and was a guy that just had a record night, was the Northwoods League player of the night, and deservingly so, with three home runs. Raptors yesterday had seven runs, eight hits, and another guy responsible for that, Jack Basir, had an RBI, two hits on four at-bats with a run, so he was somebody to watch out for because he came in back in the lineup, the Pepperdine product, who was gone since June the 10th. And after a week being out of town, he comes back and goes 2-for-4. So he had a big day yesterday. He'll be batting second today. So these two teams just about 10 minutes to go on this Sunday afternoon matinee. Also, happy Father's Day to all those who celebrate. And it's just a opportunity for these guys to go out and enjoy the game of baseball. So the Raptors and the Chinooks. Raptors were able to take down Chinooks again 7-3, and they lead in the series 3-1. So as a team, Wisconsin Rapids, they are batting .232 as a team with 82 runs and 146 hits. They have 73 RBIs as well, but they've been struck out 177 times. But the big thing is for them, their defense. They have the best fielding percentage in the league with a .975. Last year, they took down the Chinooks by the series score of 7-5. So right now they lead 3-1. As for Lakeshore, they are 7-11. They've lost 7 of their past 8. So they're looking to get back to winning ways, and they've struggled. So they're 5th in the Great Lakes West, batting .241 as a team with 54 hits and 87 runs. They've been struck out 150 times. About 10 minutes away, just before first pitch, we'll be back here on WFHR. Stay with us.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Batting first, the shortstop.
We return to Witter Field on this Sunday afternoon matinee between the Chinooks and the Rafters. Rafters 10-8, looking for their 11th win, as they have quite the road schedule after this. This is their last home game in a while. They have 9 away games in 10 days after this. They head around to Wisconsin, around to Wausau, around the area to Green Bay, to Fond du Lac, and then they hit Michigan. They hit the Michigan road trip, taking on Battle Creek and Traverse City. So this is the last home game, and as for the Rafters, they're looking to end it on the right way. So these two teams getting set here in just about 7 minutes. And Ryan Kaiser will be getting the start on the mound, the San Diego products from Valencia, California. He's had 2 games where he's appeared in with an 0-1 record. He lost to Wausau back on June the 11th. Didn't get the start in that game, but picked up the loss. 6 innings pitched, allowing 3 hits, a run, and he's also had 5 strikeouts. So a product out of San Diego, and once again, a trustworthy arm and a right-handed pitcher. And the Lakeshore, a team that, well, they're 7-11 this year so far. But last year, which is crazy, is they went 36-36. They went 18-18 in both halves for an exact .500 record. So it was a team last year that was a definition of sub-500. They haven't made the playoffs, though, since 2017, and they're bringing in a new coach, Trevor Cho, to start 7-11, as He hasn't had his best start since, but looking to change that today. And the Chinooks team that is in their same uniforms as yesterday, in the all-blue teal tops with the gray leggings and the black hats. The Rafters, same uniforms as well, with the white uniforms with the black leggings and the red logos on the front and back.